Good evening. It's good to see everyone this evening. I appreciate the prayer on my behalf. I appreciate the singing together and now an opportunity to study from God's Word. A few weeks back, I brought a lesson on being a strong church and what it takes to be a strong church. This evening, I want us to consider some traits of strong families. I believe the Warfield Boulevard congregation is blessed with a good number of families, with children. I'm encouraged by that. And we've come into a group that has many more families than we had there in Springfield, and I'm encouraged by the talent, the spiritual resources that we have in our marriages, in our families here, in our children and our grandchildren here. This evening, we're going to spend our time exclusively in the book of Proverbs. We're going to go to a man, Solomon, who is giving God's wisdom on the home and the family. This is not my opinion this evening. This is not pop psychology. This is not what the clinical doctors say about marriages and family. This is God's wisdom in God's Word. And we want to consider that this evening so that all of our families, our marriages and our families here can be strong in a world that tries to tear them down. I think about Noah and his family. He was not able to save everyone, but he was able to save his own family. And there may be a lot of folks around us that we're not able to help in this wicked world, but we can save our own families. We can get on the ark, as it were. And that's what I want us to consider this evening. If you want to have a picture of the modern-day American family, just turn on some of the sitcoms that run throughout the week during the evening. Typically, those sitcoms, new ones come out every fall. Typically, they reflect the thinking and the ideology and the practice of the modern American family. So you're typically going to have a sitcom where the husband and wife are somehow arguing and fighting, and mom and dad are fighting with the kids, or there's something like that. Siblings are always fighting. And that reflects sometimes in our own family a little bit. We'll have that going on. But it's almost pushed to an extreme. And those shows get high ratings because many American families are doing those kinds of things. And so a sitcom where there's at least maybe a divorce, we're talking obviously something other than what God wants. We have fighting going on, all kinds of estrangement and things like that. And that's typical in the American home. And so we build sitcoms around that. But that's not God's Word. That's not God's world. That's not what God wants. And it's good for us to be reminded this evening of those things really that God wants. And so we want to look at six traits this evening that are found in the Proverbs. I simply went through the Proverbs looking for those things that deal with marriage and home and family so that we can remind ourselves of what God wants. If you'll turn with me this evening to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 29, I'd like to begin by saying that what we find here is a breakdown in the family, and it's really something that we witness every day. We see this with folks that we work with, our neighbors, family, friends. There is clearly a breakdown in the home. And that's not something new. That's not something of modern America. That's going back even in Israel in the days of Solomon, some 1,000 years before the time of Christ. There were those families that weren't as they should be. We find, for example, in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 29, "He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind." So clearly somebody's troubling somebody, a troubled marriage, a troubled parent-child relationship. And Solomon says that when you do that, you're going to inherit some problems with that. And so we find even in Solomon's day, there is the breakdown in the home. And we can read about Bible families where there were troubles, Ahab and Jezebel and other kinds of families like that. And that's not what we want to be. And so it might be due to some inner spiritual weaknesses. We don't have a strong faith in God. Or it might be due to some outward worldly pressures, the wrong friends, the wrong environment. But either way, there's going to be a breakdown. We're just not what God wants us to be. And so the person who does that, verse 29, "He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind." A good question for us this evening would be, is that me? Am I the troublemaker? Am I the troubling husband or father? Am I the troubling wife? or mother? Am I the troubling child? Am I the one that's troubling this relationship? And what we want to learn this evening is how to be strong and spiritually minded and not be troubling our home, but be bringing it together so that we can go to heaven together. God gives us that wisdom. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 33. What you hold in your hands this evening is a manual. God made us. He made marriage, Genesis chapter 2. He made the home and family, Genesis 2, 3, and 4. And He gives us the manual. He writes the manual on how to conduct ourselves in the home and in the family. And that's what we want to look at this evening. He gives us that wisdom. And we hope this evening that we have the faith to believe those things that He writes. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 33, the curse of Jehovah is in the house of the wicked, but He blesses the habitation of the righteous. So, He's going to bless us if we're living right. He's going to curse us if we're not. And He sees our home. He knows what is going on. Turn with me to chapter 12 and verse 7. He knows the inner working of our marriage and our family. He hears us when we speak and when we're riding along in the car and when we're in our bedroom and when we're doing other things. He knows the inner workings and He sees whether or not we're following His Word. In Proverbs 12, verse 7, the wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. And that's what we want. I think about what Jesus said about the man who builds his house upon the rock. And he hears the words of Jesus and he applies those and he can withstand any of those storms. The house of the righteous shall stand. And I believe that. And I believe that every home represented here this evening can stand in this wicked world if we will apply the biblical wisdom that God gives us. Turn with me to Proverbs 14 and verse 1. Proverbs 14 and verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house. That's not talking about a hammer and nails and boards and brick and mortar. It's building a home, raising the children properly. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her own hands. We can either build up our home or we can tear it down. We have that choice. Of course, this evening, I think everybody wants to build it up in with righteous principles. But the choice is ours. Verse 11, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tent of the upright shall flourish. And so this evening, I want us to consider six traits of strong families that we find here in the Word of God, and we can have those things in our own life. And I'll be frank with you that sometimes it's challenging as a parent to apply some of these things. And Sherry and I have faced the same challenges that you face. We're not exempt. I remember one time, many years ago, when we just had maybe one or two children, that someone approached me and said, well, you're special, you're blessed, you have some things that we don't have. And I was thinking at the time, no, we're just trying to apply biblical principles. Our kids are just as unruly as your kids, you know. But we're just trying to follow God's Word. We weren't blessed with a special set of children or a special set of circumstances. We've had to go and grow through things that are difficult and challenging. So we're on the same page as you. But we want to follow God's Word as I know that you do. And so some of these things are challenging. But we can do these things and we can be faithful in the sight of God. Well, I would suggest to you this evening that the first principle or trait that we want to consider is that of a strong faith in God. And that's what we shared a few weeks ago with regard to what makes a strong church. I started the same way, a strong faith in God. It always starts right there. We have to put a premium on God in an ungodly world. The number of atheists and skeptics and agnostics is rising in this nation. We're post-Christian America. We used to be called a Christian nation or Christian America because our forefathers were Christians. We're post. We're after that. We're beyond that. We're behind that now. And many are losing faith in God. It's not being taught, encouraged, stressed. And from the top of our government on down, we see anti-God types of legislation from the Supreme Court and others getting us away from God and His Word. And so we're going to have to take it upon ourselves to be strong and have a strong faith in God. We're not going to get it from our nation. And you're not going to get it in some pulpits across the land. There are some denominations that cast doubt. They'll get up and preach in a pulpit. They'll cast doubt on the inspiration of Scripture, that the Scripture is actually the Word of God. They'll cast doubt. There are some pulpits across the land that are encouraging things that are not in the Word of God, such as homosexuality and other types of things like that. And so even in a religious environment where you think you could come in and be safe and have an environment of God and His Word, you're not going to get it there. We have to take it upon ourselves to have a strong faith in God. And so, in the Proverbs, we find in chapter 1 and verse 7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We have to have a fear of God in our lives. And I would suggest three things that will help that. First of all, Bible reading. And our daily Bible reading, as Jeff said recently, it's not just to get numbers, it's not just to go through the motions and raise our hand, but to have a strong faith in God. Read something every day from God's Word. And then prayer, and then worship. Coming together like we are this evening, it's extremely important to be together with our spouse and with our children to worship God together. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge, but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction. We have to fear God. And that means we know who He is on the pages of His Word, and we respect that, and we reverence that, and we obey His commands as we studied this morning in the life of Joseph, even if it's hard to do that. We need to be reading our Bibles. Buy the truth and sell it not. That should be Proverbs 23 and verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Yea, wisdom and instruction and understanding. We need to have a premium on the truth. I'm going to buy it and I'm not going to get rid of it. That comes through our Bible reading. Bible-based sermons in the local worship. Bible-based at home. And there's going to be times where that's difficult. It's difficult sometimes to do a daily Bible reading because of our schedules, but Sherry and I have actually had to say, okay, what are we going to change in our schedule to make this happen? When I was growing up at home, we read the Bible daily, and Mom and Dad's practice was every morning after breakfast. Well, every morning after breakfast, that's when you, during the school year, that's when you go out and get on the school bus and go to school. There were a couple of times where I was dragging my feet and I wasn't ready. And Dad would say, listen, I hear that bus coming just like you do, but we haven't read our Bible yet. You're going to miss that bus. We'll work out some way for you to get to school, but you're not getting on that bus until we read. And we're going to read first. And that was a premium in our home, reading the Bible every morning after breakfast. Well, you can rest assured that the next morning I got up and moved a little bit quicker. Because he took it out of my hide or some other way that he had to take me to school that day. So we were given that in our life, and that impressed me. In our home, we try to read after dinner. And so find a time when you can make that happen in your home and read together. Read as husbands and wives. Read as parents and children. And then prayer. Pray not just for food, but we have these announcements. There's so many individuals that are coming up who need our prayers. Pray together and change that up. It's easy to get into a rut or a routine around the kitchen table when we're praying for our food, but include those new things that come up each day. Jehovah is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. Have a good prayer habit with your spouse and with your children. And then come to worship. In the book of Proverbs, there's not a formal statement of coming to worship in the temple in the days of Solomon. But you do read a few places in the Proverbs about bringing your sacrifice. And what that implies is that there was a worship that was encouraged in the days of Solomon. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? And so God wants, obviously, us to come to worship with a good heart and a good life and a good attitude and not just come with wickedness. Number one, a strong faith in God. We need to reverence and respect God. And that's going to come through Bible reading, Bible study, prayer, and worshiping God together. Put a premium on that. And if we can make any changes in our schedule to put a premium on that and a focus on that, let's do that, and it will be rewarding. There is so much other anti-God, anti-Bible that is taking us away, that we need that in our life And we need it much more than just three times a week at a church service. We need it daily. The devil's not giving up. The devil doesn't operate three times a week. Does the devil operate on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? He operates 24/7. He operates all week long. So we have to combat that in our life all week long. We can be strong, but it's going to take a strong faith in God. Number two, it's going to take a strong inward character. We're going to have to apply these things of God's Word in my life. I've got to be a strong husband and father, character, a man of principle, like we talked this morning with regard to Joseph. Character means that right is always right, wrong is always wrong. I'm a man of principle. I'm not a man of convenience. John was telling me this morning on the way out. He said, you know that you're a person of conviction when something that is mentioned in God's Word comes to play in your own life and you're tempted to change it. He was talking about divorce, for example. And we say, well, that's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. But what happens when it happens to me? All of a sudden, oh, maybe I should change. No, we need to be a man of conviction and principle and commitment. And it doesn't change, even though now we find it happening in our own life. And I have that in my own family, and that's hard. In two of my siblings, I have that very thing, and it's difficult. So character is someone who's going to be right in all circumstances in life. I need to be a man of honorable character. I need to be a woman, a wife of honorable character. I need to be a young person of honorable character. Let's look at some of these passages. Proverbs 27 and verse 21, concerning the man, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace is for gold. Talking about the smelting process. When you put these metals into a hot fire, it separates the silver and the gold from those impurities and it melts it away, and then you scoop up the silver and the gold and you separate it from those impurities. Just like that happens in that process, a man is tried or tested by his praise. We go through tests. And we need to be men of character. That number one, what we just noticed on the last slide, yes, I'm reading my Bible, but now I'm applying that in every situation in my life. And as a wife and as a mother, a worthy woman is the crown of her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones, Proverbs 12 and verse 4. In the book of Proverbs, there's two women. There's the worthy woman, and then there's that other woman. That one that is spoken of as sexually immoral and of low character. So we have a choice, and we need to be men and women of strong inward character if we're going to make it through this world. And then with regard to our young people, look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. We've got great young people classes. We have a lot of young people. I've enjoyed being with them some, even outside the building, doing some fun things. I'm encouraged by our young people, but you have to be of character. And you have to apply God's Word, and you have to live right in all situations in life. And that's what makes us happy as a parent. That you are wise in applying God's Word. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. There are a lot of parents who have sleepless nights and they don't know where their young people are, and they're bothered by this and they're bothered by that. The young person is out just following the ways of the world. And so many of them get themselves into trouble, and some of it is such that they're gone altogether. So we need to be men and women and young people of character if we're going to be a strong family in this wicked world. Let's look at something else. We need to have a strong love and a bind for each and every one of us in the family. It's amazing what I see today out in the world. You'll see husbands and wives speaking in a very derogatory way, one toward another. You'll see children and parents speaking in a very derogatory way, one toward another. We need to show love. And so the next couple of charts, I want us to consider some things that we need to say and do to show that. If we're going to be strong, there has to be a commitment among us and within us to be strong. We're not going to let someone tear us down. We need to have love for one another's welfare. We need to avoid selfishness. And that's a hard thing. And I'll be the first to admit that. And we need to give heartfelt appreciation. Let's look at it. We need to have love. We need to have love for one another's welfare. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 17, better is a dinner of herbs. That's where you don't have a lot to eat, but where love is. Than a stalled ox. That's an ox that's in a barn and you're just feeding it and feeding it and feeding it. It's stalled there. You're just getting it big old fat so that we can have a big old piece of meat. It's better to have just a little bit where love is than to have this ox that's big and fat and we're going to have a nice meal, but with hatred. And you know what? Sometimes you'll see that in the American family. And what I'm about to mention to you, it's not wrong to have these things per se, but these are things that we have to have. We have to have two or three cars. We have to have, you know, the latest satellite with hundreds of channels. We have to have this particular kind of home. And the American family, we've met the American dream when we have all these material things, but inside those four walls, there's hatred. There's yelling. People are yelling at each other. But we've got all the digital channels, you see. And we're slamming doors and we're walking out mad, but we've got, you know, the nicest cars and this and that, you see. That's what that's saying. The stalled ox, we've got this big, nice, fancy meal, but there's hatred. And so we're going to bed at night mad. We're slamming doors. We're yelling at each other. But boy, we've got all the nicest things. And my children have the latest iPad and we've got this to play on and that to play on, and everybody's got a cell phone. We need to love each other. We need to be close. We need to speak words of love. We need to show actions of love. And it's more about that and having less than that. Well, I've fulfilled the American dream with all these physical things that we can buy. Working overtime to buy all the latest things. But we're upset at each other. Better is to have that love. We need to get rid of the selfishness, and that's hard. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Selfishness destroys a lot of families. I'm going to go out and do what I want. I'm going to go out and do what I feel. I don't care about your interests. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul talks about the husband loving his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. That's hard to do, men, but that's what we must do. And so we're going to give up. And so we need to remove selfishness. We need to remove those angry words. We sing in our songbook, angry words, oh, let them never, except in the home, then that's where we just really let them fly. And there are going to be times, families, there's going to be times when we're upset about something, we're stressed about something, we're bothered by something, but we have to control that temper. We have to control our temperament, even in those situations. So we need to remove selfishness, but we also need to have an attitude of giving heartfelt appreciation. Turn with me to Proverbs 23:25. Listen, there's enough tearing down and negativity out in the world. You're going to get it. But when we come into our home, we should have appreciation for each other. Give heartfelt appreciation, affection, and praise. Tell your spouse that. Tell your children that. Let thy father and thy mother be glad, and let her that bear thee rejoice. Let it be a happy relationship that we have. And speak that and say that. Tell your spouse that you love them and appreciate them. Tell your parents that. Tell your children that. there's going to be enough negativity out in the world that tears all of that down. But in our own home, we're going to stay strong, and it's going to require love, removing the selfishness, and giving heartfelt appreciation. Proverbs tells us some other things. Consider this. Avoid harsh and critical words that tear down. Look at these sitcoms. They have no problem having an American family that just lets it fly, where you just tear somebody down, tear a sibling down, a parent, a spouse. Cultivate words that will build up. We're talking about how to be strong. And we can't be strong if internally we're tearing each other apart. We can't do that. Angry words tear down. And then we need to love our parents. Let's look at a few things. Proverbs 15 and verse 4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is the breaking of the spirit. If you want to break down the spirit of your marriage and your children, just say things that are wrong, and you'll do it. And I know I've been in those stressful situations where you want to say or do something, but we have to learn to control ourselves. We want a tree of life. We don't want the breaking of a spirit. Because when our spirit is broken, then that's when the devil steps in. He'll say, I'll take over from here. So speak that which is going to build up. Proverbs 15:23, a man hath joy in the answer of his mouth, and a word in due season, how good it is. Cultivate words that build up. And say the right thing at the right time to keep us strong and together. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but a grievous word stirreth up anger. And there's a lot of people angry in the world. About a year ago, my neighbor came to the house. We had just pulled up. We'd been to Bowling Green. My neighbor comes to the house. He comes, gets out of the car. I was just walking out on the front porch. He starts poking on my chest. He said, have y'all been shooting guns over here? We live out in the woods. Our neighbor was doing some target practice. We weren't. He thought it was us. He comes by and he's going to vent on us. Why were y'all shooting guns real loud? You're scaring my horses. He didn't even ask me if I was the one shooting. It was our neighbor. But he's poking on me. I said, Richard, you need to calm down. And you need to step back. You need to calm down. I was relaying that to some of the church members later. And one of them said, boy, I would have whopped him good if he'd done that to me. It's tempting. But a soft answer turneth away wrath. So after about 15 minutes of rant and rave, boy, he was just almost a different person. He'd calmed down. In fact, he was apologetic. I'm sorry. Sometimes I get out of hand. He was almost 180 degrees turned around. But a soft answer. It's hard sometimes. And there are stressful situations in our home and family. But all it is going to do when we start the yelling and the back-talking and the name-calling, it just escalates and we end up saying and doing things that are ungodly. So avoid harsh and critical words that tear down. Cultivate words that build up. Proverbs 30, verse 11. There is a generation that curse their father and bless not their mother. Children, love your parents. They know what's best for you, and especially in this environment, these are parents who are trying to be Christians. Young people, listen, you've got the best of the best. They're trying to be Christians. And they're trying to raise you right. Love them for that. But there is a generation that cursed their father, and we're in that generation now. There was a generation in Solomon's day that was doing that. And they're still doing that. Don't speak disrespectfully of your parents, whether they're in the room or not. Sometimes Facebook and social media is used to vent and to air, and people, my parents this. And texting a friend, my parents. We need to love our parents and appreciate what they're doing for us to try to raise us in an environment that's going to help us to go to heaven. And so these are things that build up. Number four, we're talking about traits of strong parents. Number four, strong discipline in the home. And before I go any farther, the word discipline sometimes has a negative connotation. The word just simply means training. It's a neutral word. It doesn't have a negative connotation. It's just training, and there are two types. Verbal training, speaking, and then corrective discipline. We might call it corporal punishment. And if we're going to be strong, it's going to require both. And somebody says, well, are we eventually going to talk about spanking? Well, in a minute, yes. But before that even happens, the first thing we talk about is teaching through words. We don't just jump to the conclusion of corporal punishment, but we try to solve that through words and teaching. That's always the first manner. But it is a trait of a strong home. So, instructive discipline, teaching, instruction. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scoffer heareth not rebuke. And so, if we start early in life using our mouths to talk and to teach, that is going to go a long way. Now, if we wait too late in life, sometimes as they get on up to teenage years and that type of thing, it falls on deaf ears. But if we start early in life through words, we're talking with our children about the proper kind of behavior. That's what God wants first. And so let's make sure that we're giving that in that teaching and that instruction. What does that take, fathers, mothers? It takes time. We have to be available. We have to communicate. We actually have to talk. And we have to spend time going through those lessons that need to be learned. And we're not just talking about lessons from God's Word, but just lessons on proper behavior as a young person. From the principles of God's Word. So there's always that teaching through words. But when they're young and they don't listen to that, then Solomon says there needs to be something else. Turn with me to Proverbs 29, verse 15. There's always the verbal teaching and training. But if that doesn't sink in, and sometimes it doesn't, and I'm here to tell you that when I was young, sometimes it didn't. So then the next step is that physical discipline or that corporal punishment. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Notice up here, if you will, the rod and reproof. Reproof is something you do with your mouth. It's words. But notice there's times when it's going to take both of those to give a young person wisdom, to make them understand what is the right kind of behavior. But a child left to himself causeth shame to his mother. That's the child where, hands off, we're not going to do anything at all. Just let little Johnny grow up the way he wants to be, and let little Mary grow up the way she wants. I'm not going to have any input into that. Do that. And Solomon says there's going to be some problems down the road. There's going to be shame. But if we will get our hands in on that process that sometimes is very difficult, it will leave a great reward. And so let me encourage our families, especially with young children. Sherry and I have about 26 years or so of child-raising experience. With God's Word and with just practical experience in raising children, I'm here to tell you that God's Word is always the best and it works. And it's sometimes difficult, but God's Word is always the best and it works. I was raised on a belt. Some of the older folks here this evening were probably raised on something similar. Switch, belt, something like that. Razor strap. And it's difficult. It's hard. But God's Word is always the best, and it works. And I'll tell you that when you have to do those things early on in life when they're real little, you're not doing it their whole life. After a little while, you don't even do that anymore. But from time to time, you have to do that. And it works if it's done right. So let me suggest three things. I always like to be practical about this particular matter. Number one, never spank or whatever you're using. Like I said, my father always spanked us with a belt. But never do that when you're angry, when you're just at the heat of the moment, you're very bothered by whatever went on. You need to cool down a little bit. Number two, you're not spanking in order to break a bone, to lacerate, or anything like that. And number three, always teach the lesson. Teach them, talk with them about why they're getting this and the purpose of that, instead of just doing it without some sort of lesson going along with it. So, number one, never do it when you're just very angry and mad at the situation. Number two, you're not hitting so hard that you break something or lacerate something. And number three, make sure that you actually talk with them about why they're getting the spanking. And I got plenty in life, but it straightened me out. And the last one I got, I was actually, you might say, fairly old. I was probably around 12 years old. I had lied to my father. He bent me over the couch and spanked me good. Never lied to him again. And one time, probably about fourth grade, I was in church services. Let me mention this with regard to our assemblies, that there were times when that happened in the assembly. And I remember one time about fourth grade, I was actually kind of up front where these young people are. And a friend of mine and I, we were goofing off. Dad was up preaching. And he was giving me the evil eye. And my friend, who was one of the sons of one of the elders, he and I are goofing around. We're drawing pictures and punching each other. And all of a sudden, the other day I preached on the rapture. I almost believe in the rapture. He was snatched up. I turned around. Where is Steve? His mom grabbed him from the back of his collar, grabbed him up. She always carried a switch in her purse. Always carried a switch. I turned around like, where? She took him in the back and switched him good. He never did that again. I got mine when we got home. The problem was, it happened to be a congregation that had a parsonage across the parking lot. The church house was across the park. So it was a very, it didn't take long to get home. So Dad's giving me the eye. I knew I was getting mine. Steve got his. I got mine. We never did that again. I don't know if any of you ever heard Brother Connie Adams preach. Some of you know that name. Older brother still preaching, as I'm told. But he used to put it this way. Take them out, wear them out, and bring them back in. And it'll work. It'll work. And you learn real quick who is in charge and what behavior is expected. And so it's both. It's both the verbal teaching and the physical corporal punishment when that is not followed. And if anybody would like to talk with Sherry and I sometime privately about those matters, we would be glad to talk with you about that. Not only share with you God's Word, but even personal experiences, if that would help. Number five, we need to move along and close. Strong ties that bind. Let's make sure that we're spending enjoyable time together. And some of these things of modern technology pull us apart. We have all these time saver things, but we're not using the extra time to spend together. We're almost using that extra time to spend more time apart. So positive interaction builds bonds. And if we have this excessive time away where we're not really careful about certain things and we're just away a lot, I cannot speak for every family. All I know is what the Proverbs say, and we've got to really watch that. So positive interaction. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Families talk together. Sherry was just saying the other day in the car, one thing about this commute is it gives us 35 minutes to talk to each other. And you know what? That has been quite interesting. We've had some great family conversations. Sometimes they're Bible conversations. Sometimes they're just family conversations. But 35 minutes where you can't get out. You got to talk to mom and dad. And mom and dad have to talk to each other. That's a good thing. So build that time. Build that time that is going to bring you closer together. That positive interaction that's going to build that bond. And any time that we're away, look at Proverbs 27 and verse 8. And we know our work schedule and we know things like that. I understand that. And we need to work to support our family. But if we can change some things, if it is possible, I don't know everybody's situation, but if we can change things and we can be together more, that is only going to strengthen us. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, So is a man that wandereth from his place. And we talked about this morning all of those statistics about those fatherless homes. Where's dad? Where's the deadbeat dad? Well, you know, he's gone somewhere. It could be a mom. It could be both. But when we wander from our place, somebody says, well, what that means is he ends up in adultery. Well, that might be, but also my children not being raised by dad. Or the things that they need from day to day and from week to week, they're not getting that from me. And so really be careful about that and work hard to not have that so that we can be close together. And then last of all, number 6, strong defenses. The devil is shooting his fiery arrows, Ephesians 6. We need to have a defense. And we need to have that by applying righteous principles in our life. Righteous principles will help us to be strong. And spiritual families who pull together in a crisis. Listen, we all have crises. We all have situations that are going to attack our marriage and our family. But righteous principles are going to get us through. Spiritually healthy families pulling together are going to get us through. Proverbs 24, verse 16. A righteous man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Yes, there's going to be problems. But when we're righteous, we're going to get right back up and keep going. Because we want to go to heaven and we don't want the devil to attack us. The wicked are overthrown. I quit. I give up. But we're going to get up over and over and over again. And we're going to make it through that. So we have to, like this morning, we talked about Joseph, a righteous man. The righteous man. Who is that? The man who obeys God. Trust and obey, for there is no other way. And then we're going to have a spiritually healthy family that pulls together. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. We know that we can count on our spouse, our parents, to help us get through this. Well, that's Solomon. That's God's wisdom. Let us go out and have a strong faith, a strong inward character, a strong love. We see so much family today where the hatred is flying and the bad words and the tear downs. Strong discipline, strong ties, and strong defenses. We're going to get up over and over and over again. Well, God wrote the manual on marriage. And in Proverbs chapter 24, we'll close with this. The lesson will be yours. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. Through wisdom is a house builded. And by understanding, it is established. And by knowledge are the chambers filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Let's go out and build our home on the wisdom that God gives us. Let us build ourselves and our children. Let us have that strength that's going to take us all the way to heaven. Those traits of a strong family. There may be someone here this evening that needs to begin that journey to heaven by obeying the gospel, coming, repenting of your sins, being baptized into Christ, or someone who's erred in some way needs to come back in some way. We would encourage you to come. That's what the invitation song is for. But as we begin this week, let's go out and be strong. I am so blessed by the families, the marriages and families, the children, the grandchildren that we have here. And we see it in some of our families where the next generation is sitting on the pew beside us. We're passing that down. I'm encouraged by that. Think about the Matthews and their daughter and son-in-law. We're just passing it down to the next generation. Christopher gets up here and reads the scripture. We have that in other families. We're trying to be strong. We're passing that down to the next generation. We see the fruit of that. We see how God's Word is working. Let me encourage you in those lines and those thoughts this evening as we begin this week. Let's go out and be that strong family. If you're subject to the invitation, if we can help you, why won't you come as we stand there, as we sing.